concentrate on him. So that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in our Lord, for he is our rock, he is our redeemer. So let us worship him, let us exalt him, let us come together. May we prepare ourselves to be a sanctuary.
Glory.
Our sins to you, and we want to repent and reveal to us, Lord, our secret faults, our hidden faults. Almighty God, expose them as we expose our hearts to you, and revive us, refresh us, and renew us, so that the words of our mouth and the meditation in our hearts be accepted, Lord, in thy sight. For you are our rock and you are our redeemer. Bless this time of worship as we celebrate and commemorate the triumphant entry of our Lord and Savior on this Palm Sunday, as he came down from heaven to show us the way. So, Father, let us remember the victory we have in Christ. Celebrate him as our King, as our Lord, as our Savior, resurrected, seated at the right hand in majesty. And so, Father, search our hearts, search our minds. May you be pleased, Lord, with our worship and all that is done for your glory, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As we continue to worship our God and welcome one another, we encourage you to join in us in worship. We want to welcome you a little something like this. We want to tell you. All one in the body of Christ. All one in the body of Christ. Go ahead and welcome somebody in the house of God. Tell them that.
Thank you.
Above the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, church. Today the pastor is going to preach about Behold the King Jesus.
Well.
Coming from the gospel according to John chapter 12. Mm-hmm. We're going to go down to verse 12. The gospel according to John chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 12. I'll be reading in the New Living Translation. Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. Oh, just touch your neighbor. Just tell them, thank you, Lord, for one more day.
Thank
you, Lord. You know, are you feeling all right this morning? I mean, are you feeling like praising God today?
Yes,
you know, forget about what happened yesterday. Yeah, your team may have lost in the NCAA tournament. That's all right. God is still good. Amen. It's just good to be here. Good to see you this morning in the house of worship one more time. So while we're here, we may as well praise God, right?
Yeah.
You know, I already got up this morning and
yeah.
God allowed you to get dressed, so you're out here now. So let's give him some praise and some glory. Hallelujah in this place.
Yeah.
Amen. So from the gospel according to John chapter 12, we're going to be in starting at verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Everyone have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And it reads, the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, some translation may say, Hosanna.
Yeah.
Amen, amen. Hail to the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's coat. His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees said to each other, there's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him. Amen, amen. Wave your palm branches. Amen. Hosanna, Hosanna. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. This is time where we celebrate the triumphant entry of our Lord and Savior into Jerusalem before the crucifixion. Amen. So this is a solemn time. And this week, Pastor's going to be preaching about Holy Week. It's holy because it's the time when our Lord and Savior came and died and was resurrected. Amen. So it's the Easter time for resurrection. That's what we like to call it. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Lord, our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. There is none like you. Lord, I heard them say you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one which was and is to come, the everlasting God. You are the Prince of Peace, Heavenly Father. You are called Wonderful Counselor. Lord, we just come thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Not only to us. Not only to us give any praise and glory. But it all belongs to you and you alone. For you are the God that have created us and created the world. By your words, everything came into existence, Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Heavenly Father. Father, we just thank you, Father, for allowing us to get out of bed this morning. Allowing us, Heavenly Father, to get up and have a cup of coffee or have a little something to eat, Heavenly Father. We just thank you, Lord, for guiding us here to the house of worship.
Heavenly Father. Father, we just thank you, Lord, because you've been so kind and you've been so good, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your long suffering, Heavenly Father, you have with us, Heavenly Father. Father, please bless every song that will be sung. Please bless every prayer that will be prayed. Please bless the gospel of Jesus Christ that's going to go forth all across the land, Lord, that it changes us from the inside out, Heavenly Father. Father, let us be a people that truly worship and serves you in truth and in spirit, Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we magnify you. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen, church.
Amen.
Oh.
mighty God. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you that you are God all along, that you are sovereign, that you are amazing, you are strong and powerful. Father, we look unto you right now, for you are our source, you are our strength, you are our provider. Father, we are desperate to hear a word from you. Speak now, Lord, your servants are listening, that we might have your word hidden in our heart, that we might not sin against you. Help us, O Lord, that we might see Jesus and walk in right relationship with him. Oh, Father, have thine own way is our prayer. Amen. Amen. We are beginning the last stretch leading to the resurrection, the celebration on Easter Sunday of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But on this week, we take the moment to reflect how he triumphantly came in into Jerusalem. The gathered upon, we'll get into our text, but also leading into our text, it tells us, right, that there's a reception, there's a celebration because of what happened prior when he was there. That he said those words that changed everything once they once knew. When he said, Lazarus, come forth. Their minds were changed to find out that there's somebody that can speak life and things will obey his command. They thought it was done and over. So now they're coming to see this. Have you heard about this man that rose Lazarus from the dead? And so he's spending time in Lazarus' family. They're having a reception there. They're receiving him. But that's not the only reception, because now when he goes into the city, they come and see him. So join with me if you can grab your palm, and we're going to lift up that verse in John, the 12th chapter. And we're going to look at verse 13. I'm just going to read that. And you can wave your palm and we can act like we there in the city. Excited to see our King coming in. Reading from the New Living Translation, I'm going to start at verse 12 to prepare us, so y'all got your palms ready. And when we get to verse 13, go ahead and wave them out. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down to the road to meet, and they shouted, "Praise God! Blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Oh, praise God. Amen. You may be seated. Help me announce the subject matter to your neighbor. Tell them, "Behold the King." There's a nice song that some of us might remember, right? It said, "We shall behold him." That we will see him face to face. Here it is that they have a reception of receiving King Jesus. Jesus, we know him now to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the host of hosts. But at this moment in time, they only understood him to be Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't understand who he was going to be. Matter of fact, the commentary within the text says that it came to understand after he was glory. After he entered in his glory, they came to understand what everything was happening right now. We have the blessing now that we can look back and see it for what it is. Our encourage is that we want to follow the King of Kings and enter his kingdom with humility and submission. Many times we have gone to receptions. They might have been formal, they might have been social, and therefore, right, you dress differently. You prepare differently. It's set up differently. Here it is. We had one that Christ was in an intimate reception at the house of Lazarus, that they're celebrating and he's coming back with them, and others coming by, spectators trying to find out who's this man that can make who's dead for 4 days come back to life. Matter of fact, I want to see him too. So they came not only to see Jesus, but also to see Lazarus. Can I stick a pin there for a moment and let you remind you that sometimes people want to see you and see what God has done in your life? And so not only did they want to see Jesus, but would say, "What has he done for you?" And so here it is. They're looking at Lazarus and they're looking at Jesus. And then Jesus on his way into Jerusalem. And there's another reception that they recognize him riding on a donkey and they're receiving him. First, let me point out to you that as we read in New Living Translation, they said, bless the Lord and or praise God. And basically what the words is Hosanna, but Hosanna, which means save us now, has been used as a form of blessing and praising. But so there is an emphasis here that, yes, they're singing the song and they're singing to praise God and to bless God. But now underlining this text has a new meaning because of who's present. And because who's present when it says, Hosanna, save us now, he's there to save us now. My God. The people are excited that here he comes. But also notice how he comes riding on a donkey. Many of us are familiar with the Greek myth, right? The Trojan horse. And so the Trojan horse was a horse of victory, a horse of war, a horse of triumph. But a donkey is an animal of peace. And so the king didn't come riding on a horse. He didn't come in on a chariot with his army behind him. But he came on a donkey. He came with humility. He came with submission. But yet we know he's coming in power. Tell your neighbor, humility is power. We've been taught in this world that we have to beat people up to show that we're strong. But I want to show you that Christ, so you can be humble and beat people up. Y'all missed it. I laid my life down. He defeated Satan. Oh, glory be to God. So they took the palm branches and went down in the road to meet who they cried out, Hosanna, save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Another way to look at this part is not only save us now, but also he has come in the name of the Lord. So he that is here is the one they've been looking for. The times before when they would read these psalms and this psalm coming from Psalm 118 and also known as the Hallel Psalms or the praising psalms, that they would sing these psalms when they would go to worship, when they would travel into the temple. So you look at Psalms 100 and you start and you got the Hallel Psalms to 130, and these are songs that they would sing, sort of like our hymn books. They'll pick out the songs that would go in with the tradition. So here it is. They would say this psalm, but now circumstances change when the person is present. He who comes in the name of the Lord, who is Jesus. He's come to save us now. So the imperative, the declaration emphasizes the expression due to that God is mighty to save when? Now. The place is here. The time is now. They are desperate for redemption. They're desperate for release from the oppression of the Greek and the Roman authority upon them. But yet he's not coming to set them free necessarily from political, but he's coming for a heavenly kingdom. And so here's now another fuller understanding that we now understand now, but they didn't understand then because they're waiting for someone to come to sit on the throne of David, who is the rightful heir, because Herod is not the one. So they're waiting for the one. And here is the one riding on a donkey. They're getting excited and say, uh-oh, it's about to shake up now. It's about to go. But not understanding that he's about to go to the cross. He's coming in a different way. The new level that Jesus came raises us to realize that humility and submission is what should be done. He's showing that the kingdom he's going to bring into place is a kingdom that's going to free us of our sins, free us of debt, free us of the penalty of being separated from God, so that he says, where I go, that you may be with me also. So they're singing and worshiping Jesus and praising him as he comes. As a matter of fact, we knew this was worship and praise because in another gospel says that, won't you make them be quiet? Because they understood, like, these praises are being lauded to you and we should not worship nobody else but God. And that's when Christ says that the rocks will cry out. Saying, like, you don't understand that they are doing what is right to worship him. So the emphasis is on him, is showing that he is the Lord. He is the King. He is the Messiah. He is the one fulfilling the messianic promise of the Son to come in the lineage of David. He is the King of it. Matter of fact, John 1:49 even echoes this when he says, then Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Y'all see that there? Right there in our same text in John 12 chapter, it says, the King of Israel. Who is the King of Israel? Jesus is the King. And here's the thing, that he's not on the throne. So he's not coming as the king as they expected him to be.
He's coming as the king how God planned it to be. For his kingdom will have no end. So my question is, do you see Jesus as your king? To see him as your king means to see him as Lord over my life. To see him as Lord over my life, that means there's ordinances that I have to follow and obey. Because I got to do what the king says. And so therefore, when we understand that, think about the reception, how you receive a king. Matter of fact, there's etiquette that we found out, right? When people got married over there in England, a lot of us get caught up in that scenario, right? They're talking about, well, you have to greet the queen every time you, even if your family say, well, people are taken back by that. But yeah, there's ordinances that they have that you just can't show up how you want to in front of royalty. You got to do certain things. If you go to another country, it'll make you dress a certain way before you go see the king. You can't come in like that. You got to put some other clothes on. And so you understand that everybody has a different roles and responsibilities. But here it is that some of y'all understand, like, I've never been there. I don't know that. But yet you think you're the king and the queen of your own house. I guarantee if I came to your house, you're going to tell me what to do. Put your shoes off here. Hang your coat up over there, right? But you let somebody know how they be received in your area. So here it is that they're receiving the king and they're laying branches down and they're honoring him and they're worship him. And how much more that if Jesus is king in our lives, do we honor him and worship him in our lives? They're celebrating in this area right here that he's coming to give them victory. But here's the thing, the victory is not present. The victory is in the future. Sometimes in our lives, we want our victory now. But I know your victory is on the way. Tell your neighbor it's on the way. See, Jesus is on his way to the cross. Their victory is going to happen at the cross. That's why the text says that they did not understand what's happening now, but they did later. How we say it, we'll understand better. There we go. And so here it is that sometimes I may not know what I'm going through, but let me at least understand I am going through. Which means that there's going to be an end somewhere. And as long as Jesus is still in control, I truly can believe everything's going to be. Come on, help me now. So sometimes we are running from our past, chasing our future. But we need to remember our past and trust God with our future. They're taking times right now remembering that when they are praising him who comes in the name of the king, that he's going to give us victory. Last we had victory before, how he defeated Pharaoh and led us into the promised land. Well, here it is. I want you to know that God is a God of history. He likes you to know that his record is good. I share it all the time. Y'all been with me a long time. Many of you know that I like boxing. And so one thing about boxing, when they are introducing the contenders versus the champions, they like to give them their nicknames and give them their records and all their accomplishments. And sometimes, you know, when a fighter is real good, they go on and says, in the past, champion. In the past, unified champion. And the past champion and the current champion and still undefeated. And they announce the champion. They come on out. Yeah. Yeah. And so to let you know, this is the record of this fighter. This record is good. And so here it is. What's the record of God? He's still undefeated. He's still the champion. Matter of fact, come here, Pharaoh. You were defeated. Come here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, the furnace can't touch us. Come here, Daniel. The lion can't mess with me. Come here, Moses. The water can't touch us. We understand that when I call on God, he's able. So let us realize, okay, God, let me go through the record books and see what you have done for those. As a matter of fact, they came to say, hey, what did he do for Lazarus? Now, no, it's right. They not only want to see Jesus. They want to see what happened with Lazarus. So they praise God. They praise him for coming with humility. And then when we look at Zechariah 9 and 9 is a reference here that it says in the scripture says. Y'all see that within the text? It says just as the scripture said. And so when you look at Zechariah 9 and 9, it says, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout and triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He's righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey. Riding on a donkey's coat. They understood that because his presence, he's coming with victory, he's coming with humility, but also he's coming because he is righteous. Tell your neighbor, he's holy. And so knowing that he's coming with all this power, all this righteousness, all this victory is coming, but yet how we need to come to him. We got to come to reverence him. To reverence him is to worship him. To worship him is to adore him. But also to adore him and to worship him is to love him. To love him is to serve him. The problem oftentimes that we want to worship God in order to get something from God. We worship God and we say things that don't make theological sense, that when the praises go up, the blessings come down. That doesn't make any theological sense, because there's been times I did not praise him, but blessings showing up, came down. And then we come because I deserve it, because great is his grace and his mercy. I wish I had a few more witnesses in here. I want you to understand that there's nothing you can do that can make God do anything. But yet God's love is so amazing that he moves with his power and his purpose and his passion, and he provides for us better than we could ever do for ourselves. So when I think about how I need to humble myself and forget about myself and concentrate on him, and I get reminded from Isaiah that he'll keep you in perfect peace, those that keep their mind stayed on him. Or Isaiah will tell us too, the day that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Or when the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. Or the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or Jesus taught me in the prayer that give me this day my daily bread. Well, I understand that there's times when I can't do for myself, God so enough can. So let us not get caught up saying what I want God to do for me, because he's already doing it. Some of y'all I didn't hit yet. Let me just help you out for a second. Is your heart still beating? That's God. We have life because he gave it to us. And I don't know about you, but I did not ask my mama to be here. But God brought me into this world and here I am. And I said, thank you, Lord. I'm glad I'm here. And so when you look over our lives, that we can see that though my life may be turmoil, though my life may be pain, but yet I know that the joy outweighs the pain. But yet when I put it in proper perspective, saying, Lord, when I'm living for you, I get joy. When I'm living for you, I get peace. Just to be in his presence. And so here it is that we look in our text. Y'all with me? Verse 16. His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. Can you place ourselves in this time with me and just think about how we get caught up sometimes in a moment, in exuberance and celebration? Have you been there before to a place that everybody's excited? And they're clapping and they're laughing and they're cheering. And you're going along because you don't want to be left out because everybody else is doing it. But you start helping somebody like, what's going on? Like, what's going on? And I can imagine the disciples are right there like, yo, Jesus, these folks crazy. Why are they coming with you with palm branches? why are they saying the same? Because they didn't really understand what's going on. But it feels good, looks good. Jesus is the man. So, yeah, this sounds great. But here it is that what I love about our God is that even when we don't know what is going on, God is working out for your good. He's working it out for your future. Presently, right now, they are waiting for what's going to come. They are embracing and celebrating what Jesus knows that's going to be pain and suffering. We call it Passion Week, from we get it from the passion, meaning the suffering. The suffering. Tell your neighbor the suffering. We see, we rejoice because he suffered. We don't know what suffering is because he took it from us. We'll never know the pain and the suffering of being separated from God, because Jesus says that if you will remain in me, I will remain in you. The psalmist says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But yet Jesus had to be forsaken for us to be redeemed. My God. When we get to on Good Friday and we do the seven last words, we're going to look at that word. My God, why have thou forsaken me? We don't know that pain and that anguish that he took on. so that we might know peace, that we might know love, that we might know joy. But the disciples didn't understand at the time. But yet, we'll understand it better by and by. But it says, but after, y'all still with me there? Jesus entered into his glory. They remember what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Then also goes on, verse 17 to 19. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees said to each other, there's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him. What I want to encourage us as we look at this is that, one, the more we listen to Jesus, the better we're going to understand. I want to encourage you that you got to stay in your word. Because the more you read his word, the more of his word will get into you. And you want to be so filled with anything. Anybody had a cup that overflowed? That every time you walk, it spilled out your head? Well, we ought to be filled with word that every time we walk, come on somebody, is it to flow out of our mouth. The more we have him in us, the more he's going to lead us to be more like him. And so notice that Jesus had to keep on teaching his disciples. He didn't give them just one lesson. He didn't give them just one night of teaching, but he gave them 3 years of pouring into them, preparing them for what's going to happen so that they will remember just as it was written. It was written here that Jesus will come down from heaven to die on the cross for our sins. Matter of fact, we see here that some didn't know that Jesus was who he was, but yet they want to see who he is and who is this man called Lazarus. You know that Lazarus, he was dead. I know he was dead. I was at his funeral. I saw him put the body in the tomb. But all of a sudden, he back alive, y'all. How that happened? That was that man named Jesus. That could be some of our testimony. I was sinking deep in my sin. I know I was dead, but by his grace and his mercy, you can tell him how I'm alive now because I'm alive in him. We see that when he entered into his glory. Doesn't that sound familiar? Last week he talked about how he says that the Son of Man has to fall like a kernel. And he has to enter into his glory. The disciples witnessed all this come true. But right now, can you see, in the present time, they see him triumphantly entering, not knowing that that's the same one they will say crucify on Friday. It's amazing how people can praise you one day and then crucify you the next day. You know how we sing the song, they smile in your face. But all the time they're trying to take your place. When we can backstab people, be careful how when people lift you up. Because they will lift you up and also they will lift you up in your own casket. They become your cheers, then they become your pallbearers. I'm talking to somebody here. So we need to realize that I don't want to live for this world, but live for Jesus. Because he's the only one that can raise us up that we won't die again. Come here, Lazarus. You see, Lazarus got back up again, but you know, he died again. But yet when we die in Christ, oh, hallelujah, we will get a new glorious body. That's what we're waiting for. And so when he comes back again, we all will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. My question for you to think about, what has God done for you? Have you told somebody how he's changed your life? Have people come to hear your testimony? Have they come to see the goodness of the Lord in your life? They came to Lazarus' house and to his sister's house to see what God has done for them. And then as they realized what God has done, they were dancing in anticipation of their future victory. They were praising him and worshiping, knowing that our King is here. And I want you to think about what it means when the King is here. Here, when it represents the king, it represents one who is sovereign, one who is mighty, and the one who has power. I want you to understand here that when he gets into his position of power, he has armies to command. And when you have armies to command that obey your command and you are already being undefeated, come on, somebody, then you got nothing to worry about. So long as I am in his kingdom, I'm going to be victorious. As long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. When we understand that he is exalted and he is high and lifted up, we ought to praise him now and say, save us now. He's a present help in the time of trouble. When we say, Hosanna in the highest, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. We should not get tired of just being in his presence. We serve a God that is big, a God that is awesome, a God that is mighty, a God that can do all things. We ought to bless him in the morning, bless him in the afternoon, and bless him in the evening. We ought to understand that our God is worthy to be praised. I'm done preaching now, but I just want to take a moment to celebrate what our God can do. Because when I look at Jesus coming humbly on a donkey, I think about the times that I've been prideful, the times I've been selfish, the times that I've not done right, but yet my Lord showed me what humility looks like, what service looks like, what suffering looks like, and I'd be like, Lord, oh, the wretch am I, but I'm so glad of your amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Can anybody here also testify that our God's been better to us than we deserve? Because I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not great, but great is thy mercy, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, I'm so glad that God is able to do amazing things. I want to encourage you that if you want to be revived, say, Lord, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love. We want Jesus who died and who's gone above. Hallelujah, down to glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, down to glory. Revive us. So let us this holy week be encouraged to revive our life for him and realize his suffering was for our glory. His suffering was for our victory. And if he can be humble, may I humble myself in his presence. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are King. That you are Lord, and you are mighty to save. We thank you, Lord, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Father, there might be someone looking for a church home. Lord, might be someone that wants to know, what must I do to be saved and be baptized? Lord, we thank you for the work of your word, the work of your spirit that you add on daily to your church, such as be saved. And so we pray, Lord God, as your word is going forth, that hearts have received a word from you. And Father, may Zion be that place to welcome them, to comfort them, and bring them in. And may we disciple and grow together as we build a better community, preaching your gospel to your community, to your people, that those who do not know you might know you, and that we can get more for your kingdom, O God. Father, we ask you to guide us, direct us, O Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we pray. Amen. We open the doors of the church. You welcome us. You also open the altar. You're welcome to come forward in prayer and come and just surrender and just corporate come together with God. Amen. My soul belongs to you. My God, we just thank you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard. Father, we've seen none come forward. We thank you, Lord, that you had on day the church of the church should be saved. We thank you, Lord, that all who call on the Lord shall be saved. But Father, Lord, we also come right now lifting up our sick and shut in among your God. Bless those, Lord, recovering from procedures and surgeries. Bless those, Lord, who are preparing for procedures and surgeries. Father, we thank you for the caregivers and attendees and nurses, those who are helping, serving one another. Father, we ask you to bless our community, Lord, as we continue to see senseless crime and violence. Oh, Father, may we can see the cease of this violence and we can see healing and reconciliation. We pray for these families dealing with different traumas and different crises. Oh, God, help us, oh, God, that we can identify and support them and love on them and share the awesome power of the love of Christ. Father, we ask to be with our mayor, our police, our city council, and our leaders and our dignitaries, oh God, that they may continue to be governed by you, God, and make laws and righteousness that we can see healing within our community, oh God. Father, Lord, we ask you to continue to touch us in our homes, touch our families, almighty God. Draw us closer together. May you be glorified, may you be magnified within our house, oh God. So that when we are at home and when we're outside, that you be glorified, you be magnified by how we walk in right relationship with you. Now, Father, as we continue to worship, we prepare to give to you, Lord, our tithes and our offering. We thank you, Lord, that you freely blessed us and we freely give back what already belongs to you. Father, yes, to bless those desire to give but yet have not. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you will provide the increase. So, Father, bless what's given for the work of your kingdom, the work of your church. And may we be good stewards with your resources, we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Praise God. We continue to worship. Ask the usher to come and lead us forward. Amen. And ready to give God his tithes and our offering. And also those online, you can able to give through our app and online. Thank you.
Nightly 6 p.m. You're welcome to come as in many days you want. Come to all the days or just one of the days, however you want to come. In the moment, those who may not have participated, it's just not a time of us just to meditate and reflect on the night of Jesus, those nights, those last few nights of Jesus, leading to that, leading to the Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, but Good Friday, that we call Good Friday, when he was crucified and died on the cross for our sins. That he bore our shame, he bore our guilt. And so we take this time to think about how much he loved us, that he imparted so much teaching on those last days, knowing that this was coming. And so that's the moment we come. So that it's not a traditional time of worship, but we just come, we do worship him through the reading and studying of his word, but it's a more intimate setting. So come cows or come as you want, and we will be here nightly from 6 p.m. roughly to about 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. And then also we're looking to have Resurrection Sunday on Easter Sunday, March 31st, 5 Sundays in the month of March. We look forward to celebrating and having a good day on that day. So you can wear your Sunday best and come on now. We're going to celebrate our God on Resurrection Sunday. But then as we end the Resurrection Sunday, it becomes April. And in April, we celebrate our church anniversary. We're looking to have our spring cleanup on April 20th. That Saturday from 11 to 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. Then also in the month of April, there's a time that Star Hope is going to have their retirement celebration of Bishop Joe Johnson. The Zions looking to help celebrate on that Friday, April 26th at 6:30 p.m. And then also we will have our church anniversary the following, that Sunday, April 28th, 145 years. God bless us to be within the community. So we're looking to be joining worship with Bethel United Methodist Church and Pastor Tyson Parson bless us that morning to come and worship with us on that Sunday. So those are our announcements for the weeks and weeks to come. So we praise God for that. Let us stand and prepare for the benediction and the doxology. Wise, our loving God, as we leave this place, whenever from your presence, may the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit guide us and direct and keep us till we all meet again. All God's sins and sins to heaven. Amen. Encourage somebody, tell them, bless the Lord.